Ephesians chapter 6, continuing slowly, and we are going to creep our way through the next session. We're talking about being strong in the Lord and putting on the whole armor of God, and it's too big of a subject to try to squeeze it into one study, so we're going to break it into two parts. We'll only get a couple of verses, only three verses today. It is important to see this as a continuation of what we've been already studying. In one sense, it's a restatement of what Paul says way back in verse 18 of chapter 5, right before he starts the submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and the specifics of living filled constantly with the Holy Spirit in all of our relationships. It's a restatement of that by talking about being empowered in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's really no separation. He does start off in verse 10 by saying, finally, but that, if you've studied much of what Paul has written, he did that sometimes several times in one letter. It's like he says, okay, honest, I'm almost done. And then he says something, and then he'll think of something else, and he'll say, and finally, and in one particular letter, he says that three times. So it's not really meant to be a separation. Because it all fits together, I'm going to read all the way through verse 13 up to verse 14. Next week, we'll look at what the whole armor of God is, look at it in detail. Excellent imagery. Paul certainly in his life had lots of opportunities to see what Roman armor looked like. At one point, he was chained permanently between two guards. And so he, you know, have you noticed in the Gospels that Jesus, when he told a story and gave an illustration, just used the stuff that was around him? Birds of the air, sheep, you know, lilies of the field. Paul does that too. So we'll look at that next week. But I'm going to read from verse 10 through verse 13. And later I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible because the Amplified Bible nails it. I have to warn you, there is one misleading translation. Just about every English translation does it, except for the paraphrases. The paraphrases seem to nail it properly. And it's the very first statement, be strong in the Lord. That's just a tad misleading. And we'll talk about what that means today, because there's a guy way, there's a legalistic way, there's a humanistic way of looking at this scripture that misses the whole point. And so we'll talk about that today. I don't know any way that we can fix that electrical short without ripping out the whole sound booth and the floor back there, because it's underneath all of that, and I don't want to do that. So sorry for the snap, crackle, pop. If you didn't have your Rice Krispies this morning, you're going to just be, your mouth's going to be watering. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, or the power of His might, the New King James says, which I think is even better. And put on the full armor of God, or the whole armor of God, so that, you know how important the so that's are. So underline that, so that. Why do I need all of the armor of God? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Because, and I love becauses, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Please underline that. We get that very confused. Our struggle as believers is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor, or the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. J.B. Phillips says that last part, he says, and after, even after you have come to a complete standstill, to stand your ground. And so this is an important passage of Scripture. The part of it we're looking at today is what it means to be strong in the Lord. I grew up in legalism. We talked Wednesday night about what legalism is. Good definition on the handout sheet. Please pick that up. It's any system in which my acceptability to God, my salvation, my God's blessing or favor on me depends on something I do, my performance, and not on what Jesus has done on the cross. I grew up in legalism. Before I escaped, began to understand what grace is. I have to tell you, I said this Wednesday night, I've been studying God's grace. I've been teaching it for 40 years. And I have to tell you that my knee-jerk reaction still, after all these years, is when I'm a bad boy to think that God doesn't love me as much. And when I'm a good boy to think that he loves me more. And the Bible teaches the opposite of that, that God's love is constant. And it is one of the most liberating things when I can actually believe that and live that out. One of the things that I learned in the church I grew up in, I hear it a lot in today's version of Christianity, which is so filled with humanism. It's so infiltrated by humanism that it doesn't really resemble the Christianity of our forefathers and of the early church. But the way that this scripture, "Be strong in the Lord," was translated was, "Suck it up, man up, try harder, be tougher." And that's just not what it means. Christianity is meant to be active dependence. It's one reason why men have a lot of problems with this, because we are taught in our culture to be actively independent. You're a man, fix it. That's the culture we live in. But in Christianity, God says, you're a man, you can't fix it. You're a man, learn to rely on me. It's a different muscle group. It's a different focus completely. Human effort is never going to be adequate for the nature of the battle that we are in. And that's the point of this passage. It's, like I said, a restatement of all of that instruction about how to live in our relationships. That was prefaced before we ever looked at that as saying, this is what it looks like when you're constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, God's enabling power, because you can't do this. Your instinctive reactions are not going to be these things that God is instructing us. That's why we're instructed. It's God saying, this is the way to be. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he starts this off by saying, be the verb. This is hard to express, but I'll give you the verb, and you can write it down. I know some of you do. The verb that's translated be strong is endunamo, E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O, endunamo. It is a passive verb. It means to be made strong, to be enabled, to be empowered. It's different than sucking it up. It's different than get tough. It's exactly the opposite of that. And I heard so many sermons on this about be tough, be tough, be tough, be tough, be tough. You're a man, be tough. You're a Christian man, be even tougher. But that's not what this is saying. I've heard sermons preached on this, but it's a passive verb. It's in an active voice, and it's imperative, meaning it's a command, and it's continuous action in Greek. You miss all of that in English, all of it. But what it's saying is be always being empowered in the Lord, and that's different than being tough yourself. You've figured that out, haven't you? Christianity in our culture is a bunch of people trying to be like Jesus. Biblical Christianity is the living Jesus living in a bunch of people, giving us his power and his life to enable us to live like him. And there's a vast difference between those two things. Legalism says, try harder, be tougher. Maybe it'll work. In fact, if you try hard enough, it will work. And the message of the scripture is, no, you can't do it by yourself. It's the vine and branches thing that Jesus said to his men. He said, I'm a vine, you're branches, you're connected to me. And if you're cut off from me, you can't do anything. But if you stay connected, drawing your life from me, you'll bear fruit. Important message that almost gets completely overlooked in our culture, in our Christian culture, where it's all about you. It's all about you being stronger, you learning to believe in yourself, blah, 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 which is so popular in our world. But the message of the Bible is, no, we can't live this life without him. We are utterly and completely dependent upon him, and that's not a bad thing because he's the one that's got all the power that's made available to us. So this is one place where the more modern English translations don't even get it right. It's still the be strong in the Lord. So being strong in the Lord is, as long as you don't leave the in the Lord part out of it, is better. But you're still missing the passiveness of the verb, because the verb is saying be enabled or be empowered in the Lord, and that is a different thing. My part is to allow myself constantly to be empowered. And we're going to talk about that today. I wrote a note to myself years ago in my Bible right next to this. Man, I don't know how long I've had this Bible, 40 years maybe. And here's the note I wrote to myself. Bob, doofus, never deal with things apart from a conscious and deliberate fellowship with Jesus. And that's a habit that must be formed. Usually, here's the thing. This is important for us to understand. When we are born again, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Does not mean that the minute I'm born again, I have a whole new set of good habits. Because good habits have to be developed by repetition. I do have a new life, and I have the Holy Spirit in me to teach me and develop those new habits. But not only do I not have a whole new set of good habits, I still got a whole set of bad habits that have to be rejected. I used to tell people, when you give your life to Jesus, you become a new creature, but you're not automatically a good cook if you were a bad cook before you came to Jesus. We have bad habits. Bad habits and good habits are developed exactly the same way. And that's by repetition. Here's our problem. For various reasons that we don't need to go into, most of the time we respond to difficult situations or trouble in our lives. We just react to them habitually. It's often not even a conscious thing. I wrote a list of my bad habits in reacting to various situations. You may have your own list. It may be the same as mine. There are some situations my instinctive reaction is to fight. I could blame my dad, but my dad wasn't really a fighter. I don't know who to blame. I'll blame the devil, but there are certain situations that, you know, immediately all the muscles in your neck tense and your hands go into a fist and you want to fight. There are other reactions to some situations where I want to run away. It's my first reaction is run away. I don't want to deal with this. Some situations, and this is pathetic, one of my knee-jerk reactions in some situations is to analyze them. And then I've got another whole set, and all of these have gotten me in big trouble. And the last one that I put on my list that's a habit in some situations is I just freeze. I can't fight. I can't run away. My brain is numb. I can't analyze it. I just freeze. I'm frozen into inaction. And often our instinctive, habitual reactions to things are the wrong ones. And one of the things that I find so powerful about this passage is it's instructing me, whatever happens, empower yourself in the Lord. Draw upon His power. That is not a normal habit, especially if you weren't a Christian until you were much older in your life. You already have the habit of dealing with it the old way. Some people are fighters. Peter was one of those guys, wasn't he? Peter, the ear chopper, you know? I'm going to defend God, grab my sword, cut off an ear. Wrong weapon, Peter, wrong timing. Should have kept your mouth shut. Should have been listening to Jesus instead of talking to him, and then you wouldn't be in this trouble. Often our habits, our instinctive habits, are in natural reactions are not the right ones. That's why we are instructed. Pure and simple. God says, look, I know how you're going to be because I know you. When you get in this situation, this is going to be your natural reaction. This is the way the Holy Spirit is going to be leading you. If I'm aware of that, which the Holy Spirit, one of the things that He does is He shows me my bad habits. Have you come to the Lord and discovered that you have all kinds of bad habits you didn't know you had? Or we look back over like the last month at the scriptures we've been looking about relationships, and you just find yourself going, ooh, man, I never do that, or I always do the wrong thing. I never do the right thing. Well, that's good. That means God's word's working. He's holding it up and to say, this is what you look like. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you will look like when you're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I give Him permission to work in my life when I see the bad junk that's there. So it's a part of the process. We simply react habitually to things until we learn otherwise. Some people don't grab onto this. They don't understand that here they are, adults, and their instinctive reactions, which they've never questioned, are completely diametrically opposed to life that God wants them to live, which is a life of freedom. It's the way we were designed. So God's right. It's not like He just says, oh, well, I'm sorry that you've always been that way. We'll just let this one slide. Not if it's hurting me. It's not a small thing to say, allow yourself actively to be empowered, enabled in the Lord, in the power of His might, because that is not going to often be our instinctive reaction. It is hard when we've been, like I said, especially men. I've never been a woman, so I'm sure they've got their own set of things. But our culture, especially, I think you were telling me sometimes this is a message that's been given to women in this part of the country, is don't ask for help. It's a sign of weakness. You go out and you do it yourself. It makes perfect sense to our culture. However, it's foolishness. If I have available to me all of the power of a perfect and loving and all-powerful God, and I don't avail myself of it, then it's foolish. It's not weakness to ask for God's help, to ask Him to empower me. It's rather my strength, but it's so opposite. You don't hear this stuff in the world. Your kids aren't going to hear this at school. I'm hoping they're hearing this when they're with you, that they're hearing about reliance upon the Lord and how available He is to them. But this is one of the ways that we fly directly in the face of our culture. Biblical Christianity flies in the face of legalism, because legalism says, look, you having trouble? Just try harder. And then it's all on your shoulders. And humanism says the same thing. Some of us were raised by people who put everything on our shoulders. And God's come to take that burden off of us and say, look, I am in you, I am with you, I want to help. I intended for you to not be able to do any of this without my help. I think that's why he said the vine and branches thing to his men. He said, guys, apart from me, you can't do anything, because he knew they'd try. It's the way we are. Give me a list of stuff to do. First thing I'll do is go out and start doing it. The new habit God wants to develop is, when I've got a list of stuff to do, is, Lord, how are we going to do this? Show me what to do. This is why sometimes I'm in an absolute safest place when I don't know what to do, if I go talk to him. I'm dangerous when I think I do know what to do. So be strong is better translated, be enabled in the Lord, or be empowered in the Lord, in the power of his might. The New King James says his mighty power is just a tad misleading in the NIV, because mighty isn't meant to be an adjective. It's talking about the strength that God has. Let that be the power source for whatever it is that is challenging me. And that would mean not my own power, but his. The example that I gave you earlier before everybody left, and probably good to repeat myself anyway, is in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul, the man of faith, was up against some sort of a disability that was so challenging to him that he begged Jesus to take it away. And Jesus said no 3 times. He said, my grace is going to be enough for you. And then he said this, I think one of the most overlooked concepts in the Christian life, in our present modern day Christianity, is that God's strength is perfected in our weakness, which means God's strength is never going to be seen fully developed in my life as much as it is when I am weak. I don't know about you, but I don't like being weak. I've spent a lot of my energy trying to prove that I'm not weak. Bad idea. Good idea is just hit the dirt and say, I can't do this, Lord. Please enable me. And all of the power of heaven rushes in. I think the secret of maturity in the Christian life is learning to do that quicker and quicker and quicker, to where that becomes your habit. And my strength is perfected in your weakness, Paul, is what Jesus said to him. The word perfected, teleo, is the Greek word. Sounds like you're yodeling a little bit, teleo. It means fully developed. My strength, Jesus said, is fully developed